Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hey, let me just, for those of you that make First Church your home, I've met a few people today that this is their first time with us here today. So let's share with all of our new friends and folks that are visiting with us today our purpose and mission. Here at First Church, what is our purpose? To bring honor and glory to God and enjoy Him forever. That's exactly right. So if you're here for the first time, that's why we exist. We want to bring honor and glory to God, and we want to enjoy Him forever. Our purpose, and what is our mission? To help people fall in love with Jesus. So if you're here today for the very first time, we hope that you feel and experience the love of Christ in a real and wonderful way. We've been talking about mountains and valleys. This past week, I saw a headline on the internet that said, if you're afraid of heights, don't click here. Well, I'm afraid of heights, but I'm also curious. So I clicked on it, and this is what I saw. I saw this video of this guy climbing a mountain in Mexico. And the neat thing about this particular guy and this particular mountain was that it said that he climbed this mountain totally free of any kind of safety harness, any kind of help. He simply climbed this mountain with his fingers and toes dug into the side of that cliff, and he got from the bottom to the top. Yeah, he got from the top to the bottom really, really fast, right? No. Matter of fact, it said that they were going to post the entire video very soon of this climb. But as I clicked on that and as I watched it, and this is actually just a short clip of it. Okay, you see him there? He's literally got his fingers just in these crevices and in these cracks. And I'm watching this, I'm thinking, you know, probably somebody took this. This dude probably fell. Okay, and I was just waiting on him to, but you know, it doesn't happen, so don't worry about that. But can you imagine that? I mean, does this guy have a death wish? You know, I just can't fathom that. As a matter of fact, I'm a little skeptical of it, all right? So if you can find out whether or not this guy really did this, because he's either really, 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 really brave or really, 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 really stupid, one of the two. I'm thinking it might be the latter, but you know, you can check that out. But here's the thing. Life is all about mountains and valleys, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we get on the highest of heights, and then we have the lowest of lows. Matter of fact, when I watched this video, it made me think of the worst joke I ever heard. Would you like to hear it? Okay, here it is. These two brothers, Hans and Franz and Hans, they went mountain climbing. And they took their mother along. And during the mountain climbing experience between Franz and his brother Hans, the mother slipped and fell over a 1,000-foot cliff. And Franz looked at his brother and said, "Look, Hans, no ma." "Look, Hans, no ma, no, look, ma, no." Anyway, it was, I told you it was bad, you know. But sometimes, I mean, don't you just get in a place sometimes it's like, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. I mean, this climb, these constant obstacles, these constant difficulties, you know, we get on mountains and we think it's going to be an awesome place, but it turns out being a harsh place and a difficult place. We get in a valley and we think it's going to be a nice place and a cool place and a place without humidity, and all of a sudden it becomes a place of an absence of joy and depression and things like that. Here's my whole point in that, because we started on this journey last week, and we're trying to learn some life-changing truths. And if you remember last week, I talked to you about how we need to understand that God never changes, okay? Everything changes about life. As we get older, things fall apart, things change. You know, everything about life changes. Things that we buy, they get old and they fall apart, and everything changes except God. And the God on the mountain is the same God that's in the valley. And the God, as a matter of fact, I also said about how we need to understand how we can celebrate and how we can sustain, that God wants to celebrate with us when we're on mountaintops, and God wants to sustain us when we're in the valley. It's the same God. And how he wants us to be a witness of faithfulness. How when things are awesome, he wants us to draw attention to his goodness and his grace. And when things are tough and difficult, he wants us to be a witness of faithfulness as well during times like that. And how really the overarching understanding is that we need to have a contentment in life. That God needs to teach us to be content. Like Paul said, I've learned to be content in each and every circumstance in life. So wherever we are, we have to understand that God is already there. Now maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that you're in the wilderness, that you're in a valley. Maybe you feel like that you're on a mountain, but it's not a mountain of exhilaration. It's a mountain of difficulty. It's a mountain that is an obstacle. There's a great passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that talks about the wilderness wanderings of God's people. You remember the story, right? God miraculously led them out of Egypt. He's taken them to this promised land, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. But in the interim, they kind of get sidetracked. They become disobedient and they wander in the wilderness for decades. This is what this passage is about. Look at what it says. It says, then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea as the Lord had directed me. For a long time we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Now what they're doing here is they're describing the situation where they go through this wilderness wandering, and then finally God says, okay, you've been in the wilderness long enough, now let's head towards your ultimate destination, okay? Now maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like that you're on a wilderness journey, that you're wandering in the wilderness, that you're aimlessly going from here or there, and that you're not getting anywhere in life. Let me point out a couple things out of this passage. The first one is simply where they are. You know, he says things that they're in the wilderness. They're on this route from one place to another. You just look at that. They're in the wilderness, and it says, and we're on the route to the sea. In other words, they're going, you know, if you know anything about geography, if you're in a mountain and you're headed toward the sea, you're going towards sea level, right? So you're going down into a low-lying area. It says here that they were in this hill country of Seir, and they'd been in this hill country long enough, and that they were to go to the north. Do you get what he's saying here? They were just here and there. They were in this place, and then they felt like they needed to go here. And then they were in the wilderness, and then they went down in the valley. And then they were in the valley, and they went back into the wilderness, or back onto the mountain. That's life. We all experience all those kinds of places all the time. Here's the second thing about this particular passage of scripture, because it says, as the Lord directed me. As the Lord directed me. Then it says, then the Lord said to me. And then at one point, it said that Moses is talking here, and he's saying, all right, God says right now, turn to the north. In other words, head in this direction. You see, here's the point, folks. We all need to be directed by God. We all need to be directed by our Savior Jesus Christ as we're wandering in the wilderness. Because you see, here's the thing I know is true. People are different. Therefore, all mountains and valleys are different. You ever realize how easy it is for two people to look at the same thing and come to two totally different conclusions? In other words, some of you might be on a mountain right now, and it's an awesome mountain. It's a mountain of celebration. It's wonderful. Somebody else might be right there with you, but for them, it's not a mountain of celebration. It's a mountain of difficulty because they're at a different place in their life. Or somebody might be in a valley, and in that valley, it's just hard, and it's hot, and it's depressing, and they don't know how to get through it. But yet you see somebody else that's going through the very same thing, and you wonder, how are they doing this? Because they seem to be navigating this really, really well. You see, people are different. Therefore, all mountains and all valleys are different. A few years ago, Arlene and I, we went on this cruise. After I came back, I was on the computer one night, and I noticed these reviews of people that had been on the exact same cruise that Arlene and I had just been on. Same ship, Same destination, same time, everything. And I read this one review, and the people said it was the most awful week they'd ever had in their life. They said the food was terrible. You couldn't hardly eat it. They said the rooms and the ship was nasty and it was dirty. They didn't even want to sleep in their bed at night. And the people that worked there were absolutely rude. And then I noticed that they had actually put their cabin number. These people were like three doors down from us. And you know what? I thought the food was awesome. I ate from the time I got up in the morning to the time I went to bed that night. I never ate one thing that I thought was even close to being bad. Our room was like, I don't know, maybe I'm used to something. Well, just don't go there. But it was wonderful. You know, the steward in our room, his name was Raul. Arlene wanted to bring him home. I mean, he was like the nicest person I'd ever seen in my life. And I'm thinking, okay, here's somebody three or four doors down, and they said this is, everything about this experience is terrible. And to me, everything about this experience was wonderful. That's life. And here's the thing, folks. We just need for God to help us. Because a lot of times, what God wants to do, God doesn't want to change our mountains and our valleys. He wants to change us. He wants to give us a better attitude. And when we're on the mountain, that we experience Him in such a way that makes that place a wonderful place. And when we're in a valley and things are really, really tough, that we know that He is there with us. And because He's there with us, that He can make that place, even though it might be difficult, even though it might be hard, He can make it a wonderful place for us. Now, let me help you learn this lesson in a really, really good way this morning. I want to do it by sharing with you about some people from the Bible. I want to talk about Moses. I want to talk about Abraham. I want to talk about Elijah, and I want to talk about Jesus, just each of them briefly. And I want to use these four people to illustrate mountains and valleys, not only in their life, but in our life as well. So let's jump right in, and let me share these with you. Here's some keys to help you grow, whether you're on a mountain or in a valley. Here's the first thing. You can find purpose on the mountain. God can help you find your purpose on the mountain. He teaches us that from the life of Moses. You remember the story, don't you? Exodus chapter 3, it says there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Now that's kind of an amazing thing. Think about that. How many guys here this morning, how many of you have your goal in life is that you want to do something so bad that you have to run and hide and tend your father-in-law's sheep on the far side of some mountain? Anybody got that goal in life? That's what happened to Moses. And I'm thinking about it. When you read this passage and it says that he's there tending his father-in-law's sheep on the mountain, notice that, on the mountain of Horeb, I have to wonder what he was thinking. I mean, he had to think things like, you know what, this is not what I signed up for. I mean, this is not what I want to end up doing. You know, think about it. He was probably working for room and board, right? I mean, he probably wasn't getting very much. He was probably just simply, his father-in-law gave him a place to live, fed him food, and in return, he took care of his father-in-law's sheep. Wasn't where he wanted to end up in life. Anybody here feel like that this morning? Now, think about it. This, it says that it was a mountain, but in many respects, in Moses' life, it was a valley. That's what I mean about mountains and valleys are different for different people. But while he was there, God got him on the very track that he wanted him on. I mean, I have to wonder what he was thinking. He had to be thinking, what in the world have I done? How have I ended up here? I had it so good in Egypt. You know, as he was laying down on a hard bed at night or working so hard during the day, he had to wonder, you know what, I lived in a palace in Egypt. I had it made. You know, I was considered a prince and all these kinds of things. But here he was, and probably in his own mind, the worst place he could be, and the last place he wanted to be. But then it says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, talking about the burning bush, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Now, what's interesting about this passage is that in verse 7, it says that the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them. I've come to bring them up to the land that is gracious and spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give them the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now... Okay, think about that. He's going through a whole litany, a whole paragraph there of what God saw and what God felt and what God wanted for these people and what God was going to do for these people. And then he said, now I want you to go and bring them out of that land. You see, that was his purpose. That was the very reason that Moses was alive. And he found his purpose in life when he was in the lowest of lows, when he was in that moment in life when he wondered what he had done and how he was going to overcome this and what God was going to be able to do with him in the future. And some of you here this morning, even though you might feel like that you were in the lowest of low points in your life, I'm here to tell you that God can help you find your purpose even in that moment. Here's the second key for growth. It's about faith. And how our faith can grow on the mountain, how our faith can grow in the valleys of life. Abraham teaches us this lesson in a real and a wonderful way. You know the story, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. You have Abraham getting up in the morning. He's going on the mountain and he's going to sacrifice just as God had commanded him to do. He gets his son Isaac. He takes his son Isaac. He loads down the donkey and he puts wood on the donkey for the altar. He gets a good sharp knife to take to kill the lamb. And the son says to him, Isaac says to his father Abraham, says, where is the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide. Now, in his own mind, Abraham already knew, he already felt that he was going to have to sacrifice his one and only son. And my point is why go? He went because he wanted to be faithful to God. That had been his whole life. Abraham's whole life was about somewhere. God spoke to him in Ur, said, I want to send you to a new land. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you there. It was all about going somewhere. And Abraham went even though he had no clue where he was going. Abraham's life was about someone. He and his wife, Sarah, they were barren. They could not have any children, but God's promise was, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And even though he had no idea how God was going to do that, he trusted in God that God could make that happen. God promised him that he was going to make him a great nation. And he looked at his old barren wife and he looked in the mirror and saw that he was getting on in years and he wondered how in the world that can this happen. But he trusted God that God could make it happen. So God finally gave him a son, told him to sacrifice that son. And Abraham was willing to follow through with that. It's interesting to note that as he raised the knife, Genesis 22 says to us, an angel spoke out and said to him, do not harm the child. At that moment he looked, he saw a lamb caught in a thicket. And all of a sudden he realized that his God, Jehovah Jireh, had provided for him once again because of his faith. Listen, folks, as you are faithful to God, God will cause tremendous things to happen to you. But it takes faith. You see, Abraham got to this point because he was faithful to God. If he had stepped away and ceased to be faithful, he would have lost that wonderful track that God had him on for becoming a great man of faith and a great nation. God can help your faith to grow. God can give your faith a jump start if we are faithful to Him when we're on the mountain and when we're in the valleys. Here's the third key for growth. You can overcome fear in the valley and on the mountain. Elijah teaches us that. I mean, just think about it for a moment. What are you most afraid of in life? You know, it's funny, a lot of people are most afraid in life of living. Therefore, they don't live. A lot of other people are most afraid of dying. Therefore, they don't live. And the thing about God is that He wants to take care of both of those things. He wants to take away our fear that will help us to live, and He wants to take away our fear of dying that will help us to live. Think about this. Elijah, he is such a wonderful example of how life is a roller coaster of ups and downs in life. Last week, I shared with you this quote about how, you know, life is like a roller coaster. We have to make the choice of whether we're going to scream in fear or enjoy the ride, right? And I don't know if whether you're on an upward incline in your life, or if you're going down the hill where it really gets scary on a roller coaster, but that's life. There's nobody in the Bible that depicts this better than the life of Elijah. Think about it. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19 and 20 where we read this story of Elijah. You know, Elijah's on Mount Carmel. He's on a mountain, right? Remember what happened there? Fire called down from heaven, consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice on the altar, consumed the stones of the altar, consumed the water that they'd poured around the altar. Okay? 450 prophets of Baal were defeated on the mountain, the highest of highs. And then it's funny, the very next chapter, chapter 19, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them,'" meaning the 450 prophets of Baal that he had defeated. Now think about that. How in the world do you stand on Mount Carmel and have that highest of highs? Be the lone person standing up for God, speaking of the goodness of God, overcoming hundreds of the opposition to do what he did on the mountain. And the very next day, one woman says, "I'm going to get you," and you run off in fear. Well, somebody said you never met Jezebel. That might be, you know. See, here's the point though, folks. So many times in life, we get derailed about living because of fears that we have. And one day we can feel like that we're invincible and we can take on the world, and the next day we can feel like that we can't take on anybody or anything. And God wants to help us with that. If you study this story of Elijah really closely, you'll see that he runs for his life. He goes to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there. He wanted to be alone. And he says that he went a day's journey out into the wilderness. Okay, he'd been on the mountain, now he's in the wilderness. He came to a bush, he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. Here's his quote: "I've had enough, Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. It's interesting because while he was asleep, it says that the angel came, woke him up, said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, there by his head laid bread and a jar of water. He ate, he drank, and then it says he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." He got up, he ate, he drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, same mountain. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night. And he became energized again for his journey of faith in God. I'm just telling you, folks, God can help you overcome fear, whether you're on a mountain or in a valley. So whatever it is that you're struggling with today that you're afraid of, learn this lesson from Elijah. Then one more. Let me give you this last one. And it comes from Jesus. You know, Jesus has this quote. I love this quote by Jesus. He says that you can say to this mountain, remember that passage? Jesus said, "You can say to this mountain," what do you say to the mountain? "Move." And it moves. God says that because of our relationship with Him, that we can move mountains, that we can move obstacles. It's funny that Jesus says these words because He died on a mountain, right? Calvary. And He purposefully didn't move that mountain. He remained faithful on that mountain and accomplished something that you and I need so very, very much. You see, Jesus teaches us that we can move mountains. that we can overcome obstacles in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, so if what you want here today is victory, then you need to understand that people and mountains and valleys are all the same. Everybody's different, and everybody looks at their mountains and valleys different, but the common denominator is God. And just as God helped Moses find his purpose on the mountain or in the valley herding those sheep, as God helped Abraham's faith to grow as he walked up that mountain and was willing to sacrifice his son, as God helped Elijah as he was on the mountain defeating the prophets of Baal, and as he came down and then ran in fear and found himself in a deep valley and wanted to die, God helped him overcome that fear. And just as Jesus, as he died on a mountain called Calvary, assured us that you and I can say to the mountains in our life, "Move." But it all has to do with our perspective. And our understanding that while God does not always make all of our mountains go away or all of our valleys disappear, that God doesn't create and make all of our mountaintop experiences wonderful celebratory events, and God doesn't make all of our valleys everything that we want them to be, what we do need to understand is that because He's there with us, that He can change us. And even though our circumstances may be the same, that God can teach us some lessons about life that can make the difference for us each and every day. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. His name is Anatoly Bukharev. He's a Russian. If you look him up, it says that he was a mountaineer. In other words, all he wanted to do in life was climb mountains. Matter of fact, years ago he made the commitment that he was going to climb the highest mountains in the world. And he set out at doing that. He climbed many of those mountains. In 1996, he was actually pretty famous for climbing Mount Everest. And during that ascent to the summit of Mount Everest, a lot of other people got into trouble and some even died. And he rescued a number of people off that mountain. Now, the sad thing was that he died in 1997 climbing another mountain in Nepal. An avalanche happened, and he died. But after his death, his companion wrote a memoir about his life. And in that, she quoted him as always saying this, that mountains are not stadiums where I satisfy my ambition to achieve, but they are cathedrals where I practice my religion. You see, I submit to you that a lot of times our mountains and our valleys, we look at them as stadiums where we can satisfy our ambition and we can draw attention to ourselves and how we achieve or how we overcome difficulty. But in reality, they should just simply be places where we practice our faith, where we trust in God, and where we depend on Him. And in times of celebration and achieving wonderful things, we celebrate with Him as He celebrates with us. And as we walk through the darkest of times, as the psalmist says, as we walk through the valley that has a shadow of death, that I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That He's right there with us. So I just submit to you today, folks, to learn from Moses. That you know what? Even though I might be in a place where I don't think I want to be and I don't deserve to be, that God can help me to see my purpose while I'm there. And that I can walk away from that place knowing that He is with me and that I'm going to be doing exactly what He wants me to do. Learn from Abraham that when you go through the toughest moment of your life, that your faith will be the one thing that sees you through. That when you have extreme fears about today or tomorrow or fears about what happened yesterday, That God is going to come and that He's going to give you rest, that He's going to sustain you and give you food, and that then you're going to go back into the game and live for Him. And never lose sight of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died on a mountain for all of us, but yet said that we have the faith that we can speak to mountains and make them move. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray this morning that every person here in this room would learn these lessons well, Lord, from these four beautiful, beautiful examples from your word. And God, I just pray that this morning, that wherever we are in life, that Father, we can trust in you. And God, we don't pray the prayer that would always ask you to change our circumstance, to, Lord, make our valleys not valleys, to make our mountains not mountains, to, Lord, take away our obstacles and always make life easy and clear for us. We do not pray that prayer. But we do pray, Lord, that you will change us, that you'll change us and allow us to grow and to mature and find our purpose in these places. That, Lord, our faith can grow in these places. That our fears can be rescinded because of our love and faith for you. And through it all, Lord, may we hear the words of Jesus, that we can move mountains because of him. So, Lord, I pray that you'd speak that message to all these folks here today. And help us to make commitments to you, Lord, to live that way, even starting now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.